Shalom everyone, this is Amir Tsarfati and I am live from Veenendaal, Netherlands, and together with me is Pastor Barry Stagner, that is two floors above me. Shalom, Pastor Barry.
Shalom, Amir.
Good to see you. Hello everyone from all over the world that are watching. It is now the right time to press the share button so everyone can see and hear. This is not a usual Mideast and Beyond because we're actually using our computers and not connect to broadcast. We're both traveling, as you can see. So excuse us if things are not as smooth and as professional and slick as they normally are when we have the team in the control room in Israel. So again, shalom everyone. Pastor Barry, would you do us the honor and start this very important update with a prayer?
Amen. Lord, we are so grateful for this opportunity today to talk about the things you've revealed to us, the things going on in the world that both remind us that you are in complete control and that we haven't been given the spirit of fear. You've told us the end of the story. We pray, God, you would anoint us as we speak about some of the details, and Lord, that you'd give ears by your spirit to hear what you're saying that we need to know to equip us for the work of ministry and have a passion for lost souls. So we thank you for this time. We ask your blessing and anointing now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. So again, shalom everyone. Amir and Barry here. We are from Veenendaal, the Netherlands. Tomorrow we're going to have the Discovering Daniel conference here for 2 days here. We're expecting around 1,000 local believers that will come from all over the Netherlands. We are super excited. We're going to update you about how things were in Germany and what we're going to do after the Netherlands. But first thing first, Pastor Barry, what do we have on the table?
Well, Amir, it seems like everybody's talking about the distribution of necessities to the people of the Gaza Strip. And there's lots of story circulating out there. And I think it'd probably be a good thing to set the record straight and show and tell people exactly what is going on regarding the daily needs.
Yeah, I agree with you. And before I show you the map and photos of stuff that we finally prepared, you need to understand one of the main things that keeps Hamas in power is the fact that Hamas is governing in Gaza. Hamas is giving food, is giving aid that obviously steals from whatever goes in. And therefore, the population is completely depending on Hamas. This is something that we thought should have been done from the very beginning, but from so many reasons, it could not have been done. And finally, an American company is in charge, and these are all veterans of the U.S. military, so they're not afraid. I mean, and they're in charge of the distribution of food to the Gazans. And let me show you. This is the centers. We have three centers, as you can see, in the southern part in Tel Sultan area in West Rafah, and one in Al Burej in the central part. And basically, eventually, everything is going to be in the south once we complete the takeover of all of northern Gaza and destroy every terror or infrastructure there. But until then, in order to supply food to the locals that are still stuck up there, we've got these type of centers. Now, how do they look like? Take a look at that. We bring them all the way, we line them up, and they show their ID, and they go in and they take a box. Now, what is the box containing? This is it, folks. It contains flour, it contains sugar, it contains pasta, oil, and other cans, and even sweets, by the way. And you can see what it's like, all the area that is prepared. This is from the air. It's a huge area that the IDF has been working on for a long time. And these are the tables, and that's it. So the problem was that, as you're about to see, at the very end today, a few hundreds of them kind of created a little bit of chaos. And Pastor Barry, I believe Hamas was basically organizing some chaotic things, because I know Al Jazeera was there, and wherever Al Jazeera is, Hamas is doing its shenanigans, because Al Jazeera is basically the ones that promote Hamas. And what they showed is this. Basically, complete loss of control for about 15, 20 minutes. And the Gazans stopped behaving like Europeans, and they behave like what Hamas wants them to look like. And they looted everything. Now, it has to be very clear, 140,000 meals were basically distributed, because in every box, you have enough meals for five people, and it's a few meals per person. So altogether, 8,000 families received boxes. And if you, you know, if you accumulate everything, we're talking about big chunk. And for Hamas, it is a huge blow, Pastor Barry, because for the first time, Hamas has no way, no control, and the people are getting the food. And this is what we are trying to tell the world. There is enough food in Gaza. Hamas is not letting the people have it. The number of trucks that entered into Gaza over the past 2 months, before the 2 months halt, was enough for 8 months. In other words, even if we did not allow for the last 2 months any humanitarian aid, they still have six more months of supply. But Hamas took it. Hamas is trying to sell it. Hamas is keeping it away from the people. So there is no hunger that caused by Israel. There, if anything, there's a shortage of food that is caused by Hamas. The food is there. It is in Gaza. So what we're now doing, we're bypassing Hamas in order to show that we are interested that the Gazans will eat. And if they don't eat with the trucks that we pour in, then we're going to have to do it in a different way. Folks, again, Hamas is responsible for October 7th. Hamas is responsible for the destruction of Gaza, for the killing of civilian, innocent civilian, and Hamas is also behind what they claim is starvation. There is food in Gaza, make no mistake. It's just held by Hamas, and it has to be clearly indicated and told to everyone. So, I mean, that's what I have to say. And again, the American company will resume tomorrow the distribution of food, and it seems like Hamas is losing control. The population is indeed disobeying Hamas, because Hamas told them, don't go and take food from the Israelis. Can you imagine? Now, if there was a real starvation, why would anyone tell anyone, don't go and take food from this guy? You understand that when you are starving, you want everyone to go and take food from wherever they can. There is no starvation. If they are selective regarding where they take this food from, who is distributing the food to them, that tells you a lot about the nature of the starvation and famine that there is in Gaza. And just to be very clear, Sudan is where there is real starvation. And Gaza received 20 times more food than Sudan has. And Sudan has zero world attention, whereas Gaza has all of it. Why? There are Jews, there are news. No Jews, no news.
That's right, Amir. And we've all seen some of the pictures that the liberal media will not show about spoiled truckloads of food that Hamas had kept from the people. And basically the food got to a place where it was inedible and they've just thrown away. And, you know, to say nothing of the necessary resource for the people of Gaza to eat. What about all the dollars that were donated and the money from around the world that was given for the purpose of feeding the people of Gaza? And it's one of the weirdest things I think we've ever seen in the history of warfare, you know, which obviously warfare, as the saying goes, war is hell. But the mandate that the world is putting on Israel to feed the people that seek their demise is one of the weirdest things I think that has come down the pike, so to speak.
It makes me sad that the world is eating from the hands of the Hamas Information Center and Al Jazeera. And they parroting lies after lies, showing photos of hungry children. These are not even children from Gaza. Many of them are from other places around the world. And this is very disturbing to see how easily people are being deceived right now. And they don't even check the facts and they don't do their basic homework. And, Hamas is banking on stupidity and the gullible masses and the fact that people actually prefer to believe the lie. The Bible talks about how people want to believe the lie. This is a great example to it. And it's just, and the UN spread misinformation about, thousands of kids that will be starved within 48 hours. Then you realize this is all bogus. It's not true. They're talking about malnutrition of young people within a year, not death, not babies, and not 48 hours. Everything is a lie. It's deception. All they do is lie. And if you follow me, as you can see right there on the top corner of the QR code, you're going to see so much that I'm uncovering of that deception. Follow me on Telegram and you'll be able to see that. So, yeah, this is it.
Yeah, Amir, a couple of things before we talk about our time in Germany last Saturday. One, I would just encourage people to make sure you're praying for us because the warfare is significant. And I experienced that myself last Saturday. I was scheduled to speak at some 10:30 a.m. I'm laying in bed at 5 o'clock in the morning and I hadn't slept for 5 seconds. And so we had to jostle the schedule around. Amir spoke twice in the morning when he was only supposed to speak once. And I, as I was teasing the people there, for the first time in my life, I slept till 11:30 in the morning. But the interesting thing, and why I'm sharing that and recognizing it's warfare, is that night, 10 o'clock, I was out like a light and I slept for 9 hours straight. So, my thought was, oh, this is all jet lag. But the jet lag may have played a part in it, but there was warfare going on. Amir's experienced the same thing. He had a rough night last night. So please keep us in prayer. And the second thing I wanted to share about our time in Germany, Amir, we talk a lot about, different portions of the world where the church is, struggling to survive and the numbers are depleting and all that stuff. But I'm glad to say that there is a remnant in Germany that is on fire for the Lord and loves Bible prophecy and wants to gather and bless his name.
Yeah, we had an amazing time in Germany, as you can clearly see. Almost 1,000 people showed up. There's a whole team that organized it from the northern part of Germany, as well as from the region of the Schwäbisch Gmünd. Our book publisher, Georg Hagedorn, was behind much of the organization there. And of course, as you can clearly see, we had great time of fellowship, but also, the teaching was great. And we also had Q&A that was amazing. And that's the whole team. We took a photo with them at the very end. It was a blessed time. First time for us to do Awaiting His Return in Germany. And we were super blessed. It's not going to be the last time. We have a heart for Europe. It is not doing well spiritually. And this is why we need to come and visit and encourage the remnant as much as we can. And again, as you said, we need the prayers. I threw up all night last night. You had your own thing going on. There's a lot of warfare going on, as you said. And we appreciate your prayers. And again, Germany was great. We're expecting wonderful results from the Discovering Daniel here in Veenendaal in the Netherlands. And after that one, we're heading to Belgium for the weekend. So thank you for prayers. Let's move on, Pastor Barry.
Yeah, Amir, we had a very tragic and ugly thing happen in the United States. And again, it just points to the fact that anti-Semitism is rampant around the world. And so often we see beautiful couples like we saw this Sarah and Yaron killed for just being a Jew. And just such a grave tragedy on American soil.
Yeah. I never said that to people, but I do know the family, Yaron's family. I know Daniel, his father, is a tour guide whom I know for years. And of course, this whole tragedy caught me while I just arrived in Germany. I couldn't Daniel's mom is German. His father is Argentinian Jew. And they lived in Germany for a while. They moved to Israel. Daniel speaks several languages. Of course, Yaron was a bright person. I know Yaron's younger brother. He's a friend of my son. And Messianic Jews that were massacred outside of the Jewish synagogue in D.C. just because they were Jews. Let's see. Yeah. And Yaron, as you can see, definitely, you know, tackled the hypocrisy of the United Nations. We know that President Trump talked about this. We know that even the Qatar, the UAE, they all offer their condolences. The attacker, the murderer, is a brainwashed left liberal, progressive liberal. And all he said is free Palestine. And the thing about the free Palestine thing that people don't understand is that Pastor Barry, Heil Hitler and free Palestine are the same now.
Yeah.
To say free Palestine means death to the Jews, death to Israel, because in their mind, everything from the river to the sea is Palestine. There's no place for the Jewish people. And therefore, free Palestine is what, I mean, basically what they say is we need to kill the Jews. And then they really truly believe that killing two Jews that worked for the Israeli embassy in the DC serves their interest. What they don't understand is that they probably awoken a giant right now. And I don't think it served the interest neither of the pro-Palestinian propaganda nor of anyone that promoted it. So it's a terrible tragedy for father and mother to bury their son and to bury their daughter, a horrific thing. But the only comfort I take from all of this is because they're believers, we do have hope. As in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're not like those without hope. And they may not get married, but they will be at the wedding feast. They will be attending marriage. And so in heaven. So, and I always tell people when high caliber, big public event like that involving the death of believers is there, God is using it in big time. That from what I understand, the funeral of Yaron in Jerusalem was amazing. His pastor was speaking there, and no one was ashamed of the gospel of Christ there. And again, it's another way to proclaim our faith. And at least if Yaron is not with us here, what he did and who he was echoes in the hearts and the minds of many that would have not known neither him nor his faith unless this thing happened. So I choose to look at that and draw some little comfort from that. I'm going to visit the family upon my return to Israel and see how I can help them also.
Yeah. Amir, we had the privilege today to be on Family 7 television and be interviewed. And the interviewer had asked a question about how do we as Christians in the church handle all these misrepresentations of facts out there? How do we get the word out? And I would encourage people, as we mentioned to you every week, to subscribe, comment, share, and like what's going on here so we can get the truth out. Because the reality is, and this is part of our conversation today, is there's a lot of misinformation that's been bought as fact within the church, and we need to set the record straight as to what's going on. And Amir, I think one of the vehicles or mechanisms, if you will, to promote false information has kind of been dubbed Hollywood Productions. And maybe you can talk about one of the recent efforts.
Well, So I will. So it's actually divided to three ways to promote this stupidity. One is to recycle old photos and to claim that they are the new event. Two is to create AI photos. And three is to do Hollywood videos faking things. But in reality, none of this happened. So, I mean, we can show you right now. This is, for example, the famous, let me see if I can show it to you. Okay, there you go. So, Pastor Barry, big story. 9 children were killed by the IDF, 9 children of a doctor. She's supposed to be 38 years old. Apparently, she's got 10 children and a doctor degree. I don't know. And she works in a hospital. Course, never happened. And then they come up with a photo like that. That's AI photo, Barry. You can see that instantly, okay? But then they said, no, we have some real photos. And they show you a photo which already was related to a different death of other children months ago, and it was already used by the same people to attack Israel months ago. So obviously these are not the kids. And then you see another, you see that these are all, you know, different dates. And then even this photo was used several times, not just now. And if that's not enough, you've got the, so again, I just show you recycled pictures and I show you AI pictures. And if that's not enough, you've got people like this guy that you see him always somewhere else, wounded from something else. Again, that's Pollywood. It's all production. They make a lot of money from it. It's a good money-making machine, Pastor Barry, because these people open GoFundMe and other things. They fake all of these injuries and eventually they get tons of money and then they disappear.
Yeah.
I don't say that there is no suffering there. I just say that if you have to come up with lies, and if you have to come up with AI photos and recycle photos and stage some things, it's not as bad as you say it is. And this is exactly what I need you to know about the numbers that Hamas is coming up with. All the fatalities, it's all coming from Hamas. Why do you believe them? Every time they have to update the numbers when they have no way to prove that these numbers are right. Israel is fighting a battle like no other country ever fought in the history. In fact, the number of non-combatants that died is lower than any other war in the history of urban warfare. You have to understand, when America hit and took over Mosul, either 7 or 9 non-combatants died for every combatant. Here, less than 2, 1.5. And that's even based on the fake numbers of Hamas. And you can imagine that it's even probably lower. No army in the history had to fight above the ground, had to intercept rockets flying in the air, and had to deal with huge underground infrastructure. And in the same time, there are dozens of hostages held under the ground. It's impossible to fight like that. Plus, these people are hiding behind civilians. So the IDF is the most moral army. Look, when you drop leaflets and you tell people to leave, that's not genocide. That means you want them to live. When you call them, when you send a little rocket that is what we call knock on the roof to scare them so they will leave, that's not an intentional killing. That's actually leave. We don't want to hit you. And so Israel does that. We do knock on the roof. We call them. We send them text messages. We drop leaflets. But if they choose not to, and they know that we're about to hit that place because there is a huge terror infrastructure there, we're not going to wait for them to shoot at us and to launch rockets again. We're going to strike. And that's what we have. There is no genocide in Gaza. There are more Gazans today than there were in the beginning of the war. That cannot be genocide. You know, the Palestinians have been talking about genocide forever, yet, you know, UNRWA was established whenever Palestinians were there. What was it, 100,000 Palestinians at that time? Now there's over 2 million, almost 3 million of them. That's not genocide. You know, genocide is something like the Holocaust, when 80 years later, we're still not there at the number that Jews were before. That's genocide, Pastor Barry.
Yeah. Yeah, Amir, I think that number you mentioned is important to highlight, the civilian to combatant casualty ratio. In the history of recorded warfare, that number is 8 to 1, 8 civilians to 1 to combatant.
Yeah.
And this exchange with the Gazans has a number that's 1 to 1, which is unheard of in the history of modern warfare. Nice. So again, the misrepresentation of facts out there by the media, you know, the agenda is clearly demonic, and
demonic.
Then demonize Israel.
Yeah.
And turn the world.
And they'll, and none of the media outlets will do their homework, will do their journalistic homework to find out that all this whole thing about 9 children. I mean, why would you ever parrot those type of lies and show people AI photos. I mean, any little kid can tell this is AI generated. And any little kid can go to the archive and find recycled pictures. Don't you think that it's so easy to find out? But they don't do their homework. They spread the lie that, with a hope that people will buy it. And then when it's proven wrong, oh, sorry, no one knows that it's wrong.
And there's no retraction.
Exactly. And so it's very sad, but that's what we have to deal with, Pastor Barry.
What we have today.
Yeah.
Yeah, Amir, the battle in Gaza continues.
Correct.
The pressure is coming from all kinds of directions. But maybe you can bring us up to date on what's been happening and what it's pointing toward in future days.
Yeah. So first of all, Gaza, Gideon's chariots is underway. Five divisions are there. All of Israel's duty infantry brigades are there. Armored brigades are there. It's full force, full strength. But we move very slow. Why? Heel to thumb or thumb to heel? How do you say it? Thumb to heel or heel to thumb? What is the way that you... How is
heel
the English? What is it? Thumb to heel or heel to thumb?
Or heel to toe.
Oh, heel to toe.
Yeah. Slow progress.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Got it.
You see, I'm sorry. Heel to toe. The reason why we move so slowly right now, it's because we're no longer going to take over and clear. We're there to stay. Because we're there to stay, we slowly move. We remove all of their IEDs, all of their booby trap things that they left all around, and we destroy infrastructures slowly because that's it. Nothing has to stay above or underneath the ground that has been used by terrorists. We move and we progress. And let me show you the map so people understand this. So this is what we had in the heights of the war, if you see, before we moved out for the exchange of hostages. And we moved out, and now that's what we have today as we started Gideon's chariots. And this is the slow progression in the last 48 hours. You see the green, slow progression. Division 162 is taking care of northern Gaza Strip. And then there's another division that is taking care of 252 of the central part of the Gaza Strip. Khan Yunis and Rafah are getting, a different treatment. And 98 and 36 are there. And then there is another division that is taking care of the entire perimeter and the two parts of Gaza and the two sides. And that's 143, the Gaza division. And as I said, we are progressing heel to toe. And the IDF currently controls over 40% of the Gaza Strip and is expected to achieve full operational control of over 75% of the territory within 2 months, 8 weeks. Now, a lot of people, Pastor Barry, are asking me, why 75%? Why not 100%? That's a good question. And the answer is very clear. In the 25% left, there is the population, but there's also the hostages. We know where they are. So obviously, if we move into it, they'll kill them. So all we do is push Hamas and press Hamas for them to eventually capitulate and release the hostages and immediately lay down their arms. So we don't want to kill our hostages as we do what we do. We want to push Hamas and press Hamas and apply pressure in a way that Hamas will understand that Hamas has no more leverage. It cannot move. And the only option for them is to sign a deal where they disarm, they're banished, they're moved out of Gaza, and hostages are coming back to us. And again, if you know Hamas and if you know the jihadi mentality, they're not going to capitulate until it's almost their end. And that's when they're going to try to save their own lives. They don't care about their civilians. They don't care about their population, but they care about themselves and their families, Hamas's top leaders. Now, not too many are left alive. Most of Hamas leadership has been destroyed and eliminated. There's a 2 to 3 brigade commanders that are still there, but there's tens of thousands of new recruited terrorists that are under the ground. All of them, by the way, are now under the ground. Can you imagine the size of the underground infrastructure that can hold tens of thousands of terrorists right now? Unbelievable. So that's what we have with the Gaza operation. Again, Gideon Chariots is underway. We're moving, we're pressing. And every day we kill anything from 50 to 100 terrorists as we move forward. It's going to be hill to toe, but slowly but surely. And it's a different dynamic from what we used to do before. This is, and this time where there's a stand. And the last thing I will say, for the first time since the beginning of the war, Netanyahu is actually openly talking about Israeli, not only occupation of Gaza, but we're going to resettle parts of Gaza with Jewish towns and villages. This is it. That's when Hamas will surely lose the war.
Yeah, Amir, we talk a lot about anti-Semitism and how that's growing around the world. And we had an experience the other day that was really kind of brought that to the fore as we were passing through the scanners with our carry-on luggage, and we'd made our way through there. And once you reach the end of that, there's a very narrow hallway in this particular airport to get out to the terminal area. And I noticed as I was standing there, there was one of the security people standing in a very bold and aggressive position, happened to be a woman. And she was standing there with her feet wide spread apart, you know, almost like a bulldog type of posture. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. And I got all my things and then you got yours. And that's when I realized who she was waiting for. She was waiting for you. She singled you out. And what you said to me just really, really struck my heart after this whole thing went down, after they scanned your bag for gunshot residue and whatever else they're testing for, as they went through all of your belongings and all that. When we started our way through the terminal, once you were cleared, you said, "Welcome to my world." And what a sad thing that is, that this is a life experience for millions of Jews around the world just because they are Jews. Yeah. And you know, here you've got actions beyond that with the Yemenis and the Houthis continuing to fire rockets at Israel just because Israel is home to the Jews.
We share no border with Yemen. We did nothing to Yemen. But because we're Jews and because it's Israel and on their flag it says death to Israel, the world is okay with Yemen shooting rockets at Israel. Yeah. They shot two of them this morning, a couple of them 2 days ago, and their aim is to impose blockade on Ben Gurion Airport. And the funny thing is, the European, many of the European airliners, like the Spanish one and British Airways and others, they decided to extend their cancellation of flights, and Lufthansa as well. It's very sad because they're basically satisfying the Yemenis, and that shouldn't happen. I can tell you also that I'm not even wearing my wedding band, which has Hebrew verse on it, simply because Europe is just, it's just loaded with people that would love to single me out and kill me, you know. So, I mean, I try to be very cautious, but, I need to move from one place to another. I need to fly also. But so, whenever my Israeli passport was there, I was already automatically singled out. Yeah. Anyway, this is it. And I don't mind that as long as we have this wonderful time of fellowship and the teaching of the word with the saints here.
Yeah, Amir, there was an event that took place here recently that kind of took a different direction than it has in recent years. And that's the Jerusalem Day celebration.
Yeah.
Really was kind of a black eye for Hamas to see how the day went, because it didn't go in the direction that they had tried to make it go in the past or hoped it would go again this year. So what exactly happened on Jerusalem Day?
Now, let me see if I have a video of the Jerusalem Day. I wish we had it. I thought we had it. But Jerusalem Day is basically the day we mark the reunification of Jerusalem after we won in the 1967 war. And Jerusalem that was divided between us and the Jordanians since 1948 until 67 was finally a city, as Psalm 122 says, that is compact together. Literally, prophecy was fulfilled. And when we finally were able to go back to the Western Wall and go back to the Temple Mount and have the entire old city in our hands, Mount of Olives, which is very biblical in the Jewish, you know, in the Jewish history and in the Bible, all of that finally is in our hands. That's a huge thing. And so we mark that day every year, and it's the Jerusalem Day. That's how we call it. And we dance, and we have great time with flags and celebrations. And let me tell you something. And again, if you go to my Telegram channel, if you scan the QR code here on the screen, you're going to see that I posted videos of the celebration, but I also posted something very interesting. For the first time in the history of the modern state of Israel, the U.S. ambassador to Israel released a video where he congratulates Israel for the 58th Jerusalem Day, 58 years since the reunification of the city. And basically, he said, Jerusalem is the internal capital of the Jewish people. This is the first time. You see, American diplomats, State Department, all of them have been staying away from Jerusalem like from fire, thinking, oh, if we do something, we'll anger the Arab. If we say this, we'll anger Israel. But let's not talk about Jerusalem. Jerusalem is open for negotiations. Worse, Governor Huckabee, which is now Ambassador Huckabee, left nothing to anybody's interpretation. It is the eternal capital of the Jewish people. America is standing with Israel. Jerusalem is Israel's capital, period. It will not be divided again. So it's phenomenal, not only that the Jews are celebrating. By the way, last thing I want you to know, Pastor Barry, when Hamas began October 7th, the leader of Hamas military wing released an audio message, and he says, I'm hereby declaring the beginning of the Taufan al-Aqsa, the flood of al-Aqsa. They invaded Israel from Gaza, but they named it the flood of al-Aqsa. They know that if they want to unite all the Muslims around the world, they need to give it something that is related to Jerusalem. By the way, Jerusalem is not mentioned in the Quran. And the stories of al-Aqsa being in Jerusalem started only in the 12th century, in hundreds of years after Islam was born. Al-Aqsa, the farthest, it's a mosque that was in the city of Medina. There were the close mosque and the far mosque. And the Bible, and the Quran is talking about Muhammad going from the close one to the far one. Because of politics in the Islamic world in those days, and the leader of the Muslims in Damascus was prohibited from going to Mecca, he found a solution. Let's go to Jerusalem and make Jerusalem holy for Muslims. And then you have to understand, how can Muhammad go to the mosque in Jerusalem when there was no mosque in Jerusalem at the time of Muhammad? To begin with, no one is using his brains even. So that's the point I want to say, but again, almost 2 years into the war, 600 days tomorrow, 600 days to October 7th, and hundreds of thousands of Jews surrounded Jerusalem with flags. They went to the Temple Mount, they went to the Western Wall, huge, gigantic flag all over, celebrating. That's not a victory for Hamas. That's a victory for Israel. Resilient nation. We're not going to let them break us. I'm so proud that we were able to celebrate. The Houthis threatened to shoot rockets. They did not. They did not. They did so this morning, but we intercepted both of them. But that's the, you know, this is the story. And I'm very glad that we could mark the Jerusalem Day yesterday in a way that has not been seen for years.
Yeah, Amir, it's kind of interesting comparison. You know, there's an iconic picture of American Marines raising the flag and a group of men pushing it upward. And, you know, everybody, I think, in the States, at least anybody that's been around for a while, has seen that picture, and it brings chills to our hearts. And one of the things I think about 1967, there's a picture of a group of IDF soldiers, and I've heard the radio report that came over, and obviously it was spoken in Hebrew, but it was translated as the Temple Mount is in our hands.
It's in our hands, yes.
And you pair those things up, and it's just a chilling thing, you know, when you consider Bible prophecy and the necessity of Jewish possession of East Jerusalem and to now celebrate that for all these years. Just an incredible thing.
It is.
And Amir, yet there is pressure coming from European nations for there to be a not just a divided city, but a Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as the capital. and that pressure never seems to go away in spite of the reality of the historic presence of the Jews in the land of Israel, as well as all the things that have happened, the multiple attacks, including on the day of the Declaration of Statehood, and the events of October 7th and beyond. There's still pressure. Give the Palestinians a state.
You know, I actually want them to recognize Palestine, A, because it's a Narnia. There is no such thing. You can recognize whatever you want, but there is Palestine. But second, the minute they do that, what we will do is impose Israeli sovereignty on the West Bank and Judea and Samaria. So let's do it. You'll find out. It's going to be beautiful. And then the war will end with full Israeli sovereignty in the West Bank and Judea and Samaria, a new Israeli settlement in Gaza. We have the entire Mount Hermon in our hands. We crush Hezbollah. There is no Syrian army anymore. We hit the Houthis, and we're on our way to deal with Iran. So, I mean, come on. If you want to reward Hamas for what they did in following what they did to recognize a Palestinian state, you're not going to help the Palestinians. It's going to backfire on the Palestinians. Trust me. That's what's going to happen. You know, it's unbelievable. Every time they do something to please the Palestinians, they hurt them. I'm reminded of all those companies that decided to, or countries that decided no longer to buy products from companies in Judea and Samaria. You know what happens? All of the companies that we have in Judea and Samaria are hiring hundreds of Palestinians. So when they have to shut down, guess who suffers?
Yeah.
It's the Palestinians. So if you're going to recognize a Palestinian state, go ahead, do that. But there is no Palestinian state. No one recognizes it here. And B, it will be the perfect thing for us to say, okay, you do a unilateral thing, we're going to do a unilateral thing, and we will impose Israeli sovereignty as a retaliatory act, and that's it. And the war will end, and once the war will end, Israel will have full sovereignty over everything they don't want us to have. So I don't get it, but this is it. It's diabolic, it's satanic, and the pressure is mounting as we get closer and closer to basically overpower Hamas. It's like, don't you want to overpower Hamas? Don't you want to destroy Hamas? Don't you think that the Palestinians deserve better than Hamas that brings upon them suffering and pain and death? But they don't think that way because it's demonic, it's diabolic, it's satanic. Literally, they wish Israel was never there. Literally, it's Israel that is their problem. And literally, the return of the Jews to the land is such an important biblical thing and such an important act of God that the enemies of God wants to fight God, and the best way to fight God is to come against the people of God, his sheltered ones, as Psalm 83 says.
Yeah, Mayor, looking at some of the things that are happening in the political theater, you know, there's a lot of talk, and much of it is negative, about Christian support for the president, and that, you know, that was his base, support base, you know, the evangelical church, and some use that as an accusation against evangelical Christians. And it seems like the media has been working overtime to try and drive a wedge between the support base and the president. And there's a lot of information that's reported out there that has with it some innuendo, even though the reality may be a statement completely different. And we know the media likes to half quote or take quotes out of context. Yeah. But the president has made some comments lately that some are seeing as curious, at the very least, and talking about wanting the war to end. He didn't say how he wanted it to end, but he said he wants it to end. And I think that would be your position as well, as long as it ends the right way.
Talk to Iran.
But talking to Iran doesn't mean he's bowing to them like previous administrations. But, you know, these kind of comments are out there and they're stirring up, kicking up the dust, so to speak. Maybe you could address those things also.
Yeah. So, I mean, these are the two things that are important to Israel. We want to finish with Hamas in order to finish the war and get our hostages back. And we also want to bring an end to the Iranian quest for nuclear weapon. These are two things that we have the right to demand because these are existential threats for us. Now, President Trump prefers to negotiate with the Iranians because, and I think it's fair, he thinks that if we reach a deal where we dismantle the Iranian infrastructures of enrichment of uranium, it's better than trying to destroy it from the air and have them immediately rebuilding it. So I get him. The thing is, every time he's saying something positive about it moves in the right direction, I think we're going to have a deal, all of that, immediately it causes anxiety on the Israeli side that if the Iranians said yes to something, they must be getting their way in this negotiation and they might be keeping their option of enrichment of uranium. And so that's the one thing. On the other hand, if you want to end the war tomorrow, obviously Hamas will still stay in power. So for Israel, when somebody says we want to end the war now and or we have a deal with Iran, immediately it causes some anxiety. But again, I've learned in the last months and weeks that every time the media is trying to interpret Trump's words, it will do so in order to drive a wedge between us and the Americans, and it will go to drive some panic among the Israelis as if Trump turned his back on us, as he's stabbing Netanyahu in the back, if he's no longer interested in talking to Netanyahu. There's so much fake news. And I feel sorry for the U.S., the White House spokesperson and the U.S. administration and the U.S. ambassador, because they need to deny these things like 50 times a day.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
All they do is, it's fake news. We never said that. The president never said that. I say judge the president by what he does, not by what he says, because whatever he says will be always misinterpreted and misrepresented. I have not seen any deal with Iran that allows Iran to enrich uranium, and I have not seen any demand to stop the war with Hamas still in power. So I hope that we all give the president a chance and we all remember that America is on Israel's side. And as you and I say, when we talk about Bible prophecy, probably the only time America will not be there for Israel, and that will then be used by Russia to come against us, is probably when America won't be even able to stand on our side. And we, both of us, want to believe that the rapture will be the reason for a devastating consequences for America, unlike any other country around the world. So, I'm looking, if that's what it is, that the rapture is going to cause America to turn on Israel, I'll take it.
Amen to that.
Amen.
Yeah, it's interesting, because people are talking about him wanting to negotiate with the Iranians, it's like all of a sudden people forget how he negotiates.
Exactly.
He negotiates like this. You do what I say or else. Or tariffs are coming however it is. But, again, I think just we have to recognize the devil's in the middle of all of this. And he's the one that's driving the anti-Semitism around the world.
Exactly.
And we don't want to support his agenda. We want to be a support to the nation of Israel. Yeah. Recognize their right to the land. And Amir, we're coming up on an hour, so why don't we close things up with the Aaronic blessing.
And again, we'll close with the Aaronic blessing, but we want to encourage you, please share this video to as many people as you can. Follow us, subscribe, and comment on our YouTube channels. Thank you again. So let's pray. Yevarechecha Adonai v'shmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chuneka, Yisa Adonai panav elecha, v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance toward you and give you his peace.
Amen.
Amen.
So keep us in prayer as we start the conference tomorrow. Pray for our health, pray for our sleep, and pray for the messages to be powerful and for God's word to change lives. Again, thank you for watching. We love you. And please share this with as many as you can. Thank you. God bless you. And again, Telegram on that QR code. Love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.